Chair Ramaphosa, welcome also. It's a meeting of the Standing Committee on Appropriations and the Select Committee on Appropriations to get a briefing on the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill. This referral was done yesterday, of last night, after the adoption of the revised fiscal framework in the National Assembly. It was also adopted in the National Council of Provinces. Also, are there any remarks from your side? No. Thank you. Apologies, Standing Committee on Appropriations. Are there any apologies? Secretary? Yes?
No, sorry, I'm dealing with something else.
Apologies? Are there none?
Good afternoon.
Just for recording.
Yes. Apology from Mr. McLaughlin with and Ms. Manana. They are both attending family meetings.
Thank you. Mrs. Groenewald.
Thank you, Chair. From the Select Committee on Appropriations, there's an apology from Ms. Matebula and also from Mr. Ntimandi, who's attending the Constitutional Review Committee.
Honourable Monakedi is here on behalf of Limpopo, the NCOP, we represent the provinces. And we also welcome our colleagues from the provincial legislators, the chairpersons of the portfolio committees on finance. There's an apology from the Northern Cape, my chairperson there missed the flight. And if you miss the flight, you must either take the bus or the train. The other flight is tomorrow. So that is the apologies. Thank you, honourable members. I noted honourable Ted Blanche.
Chairperson, thank you. I just want to raise our objection against this joint meetings.
Order, please. Order.
Because the reason is, Chairperson, that we have not received the DORA yet. The NCOP cannot consider and be briefed on legislation which has not been referred to it. Not only is it unconstitutional, but if the NA proposes any changes, then it would duplicate the work of the NCOP, since the NCOP will not have to relook any bill. So, Chairperson, our recommendation is that we have separate meetings, that only the meeting of the National Assembly side, not the Select Committee, go ahead. And I also have here, Chairperson, a letter that I want to hand in for your consideration, and I'll gladly do so, sir. Thank you.
Honourable
Tabaj,
you may table the letter. We note your objection to this meeting. If you look at the ATC of this morning, the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill was referred. And I've got it with me. Yeah. In terms of the National Council of Provinces, it will be referred next week on the 14th, if I'm correct. We've got the same situation we had last year. And we've got the legal opinion as well. No decisions in terms of the NCOP can be taken on the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill until it has been referred. No decision. But you can accept, you can get the briefing. Here's the legal opinion. I'm just summarizing it because it's 3 or 4 pages. So we note your objection. We're getting the briefing today. The Standing Committee will go on with this process. There will be a public consultation session on Friday, this coming Friday, at 8:30, if I'm correct, public hearings. This bill will then go to the committee for consideration, the standing committee. It will then go to plenary to be decided on in the plenary, and that same day be referred to the National Council of Provinces. On 15 November, all 9 provinces will be briefed on the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill in the provincial legislators. Northern Cape is scheduled for the 9 o'clock on the 15th of November, 14 hours of public hearing. So we are complying to the procedures and rules in terms of 76 legislation being dealt by provinces and provincial legislators, and the rules of the NCOP. So that is the process. On the 17th of November, negotiating mandates will be sent from the provincial legislators to the National Council of Provinces, and there will be a meeting on the 17th of November by the Select Committee on Appropriations. And then the next week we deal with the final mandates on the 21st, if that is correct, the 21st of November. And then we go to plenary in the NCOP, and it will then be considered, the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill in the NCOP. That is the process as printed in the parliamentary program. On the left and on the right hand side, National Council of Provinces schedules until the 5th of December. I requested Advocate Tau also to be present. I think he's still on his way, but that is the procedure.
Chairperson, can I just say something, Spong? May I just ask that our objection is minuted, please? Thank you.
It will be minuted. Minutes must be minuted. That is meeting procedure.
Well, mine would be to say, in the absence of the legal gurus in this meeting, we then use this legal opinion that is before us. And to me, it will be indeed cost effective that we proceed with this meeting. Because National Treasury is here, and people traveled all the way, chairpersons of finance committees from the provinces are here, and indeed you don't want us to incur a wasteful expenditure, a fruitless expenditure. I think I would really want to appeal to your understanding that we proceed with the meeting.
The table here is in agreement, honorable members, that we proceed with the meeting. There's objection from the Honourable de Blanche. Well, he submitted the letter. Yeah. But we rule that we proceed. Yes. Thank you very much. Treasury, are you ready? Mr. Manager, thank you. Wendy? Yeah, you're part of the family. And the rest of the team? If you're ready, you can engage us immediately. Honourable members, you received the presentation. This was a good one. You also received a research document that gives you a good overview. Treasury?
About Division of Revenue Amendment Bill for 2017. We will also try to respond on the issues that were raised by SALGA on local government finances when they were briefing the committee on their assessment of the bill. So this briefing is essentially in compliance with the Money Bill Amendment Procedure and Related Act that requires that the Minister of Finance
table the... Just hold you a bit, please. To the staff. Before we start the meeting, all equipment must be in place. When we come here, we just press a button and we kick off. In the old times, we had a separator. To separate the milk from the cream, I think. Sounds the same. Right, you've got silence, you can proceed with your presentation.
So, the first slide is really about the overview of the process, which explains that the dollar was considered by Parliament and signed into act by May 2017, and it does present equitable share and conditional grant allocations to provinces and municipalities, and also set out the rules for those grants.
You must please indicate always on which page you are.
It's slide
nothing
two.
On
slide number two.
Slide
number two. So the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill therefore makes amendments to the Division of Revenue Act as was tabled in May 2017, as was signed into law in May 2017. So we are tabling this amendment in terms of Section 12.4 of Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act that requires that the Minister of Finance table the DORA appropriation bill with the revised fiscal framework. If those adjustments that have been made on the fiscal framework effect some changes in the DORA. So the changes that have been presented in this adjustment budget are relatively small in this year, given the fiscal constraints environment that we are operating in. Those changes that we are briefing you on today really relate to unforeseeable and unavoidable expenditure, emergencies, utilization of unspent funds, and rollover of unspent funds. So in this presentation, therefore, we set out all the changes to provincial and municipal allocations in the 2017 Division of Revenue Appropriation Bill. So the third slide really explains the changes and how they look like in the schedules. So the first table shows how these schedules look like in the Division of Revenue Act of the 2017. That we have got column A that indicates the current year's allocations, and column B that indicates the outer year allocations. So in these revisions, you look at table, second table below, that shows how now we are presenting for transparency the appropriation. So this is what you will see in the appropriation bill. The expansion of column A to include adjustment and the total that was adjusted to. So the new column therefore is created to show the differences therefore in terms of the original allocation, adjustment, and the total allocation. So column A also will indicate though each one of those schedules in A and B, and we're also, when you look at the schedules, also look at a new grant, which was recovery, disaster recovery grant that we'll explain to now. So in terms of the adjustment to provincial conditional grants, which is slide six, so we have made additions have been made to the comprehensive HIV, AIDS, and TB grant of 19.8 million, which is meant to assist Limpopo and Mpumalanga in order to support the national response program and to arrest the recent malaria outbreak. So there has been evidence of malaria cases that have substantially increased in those provinces, and therefore this intervention will therefore intensify the response in order to be able to prevent this outbreak. So the other change with regards conversion of health facility revitalization grant allocation. So as members will know, this grant has got both direct, which is the allocation that flow to provinces. It also has a component of indirect, which is allocation that is spent by national government on behalf of provinces. So where either of them performs well, so there's usually then shifts are allowed between the grants. So in this case, Northwest is doing very well and needs additional allocation. So the 30 million is meant therefore to enable Northwest to implement those programs that would have been implemented through the indirect grant. So there has been a declaration of unspent funds from school infrastructure backlog grant of around 415 million. This was essentially due to poor spending performance resulting in delays in appointing contractors and some of the issues around measures and rationalization of schools that get to be quite highly contested in different areas in the Eastern Cape, and the other issues around non-performance on contractors and therefore delays in actually appointing some of the contractors provide the service when others have been terminated. So the adjustment to local government conditional grants. So there is a rollover on local government municipal demarcation transition act of 27.9 million that has been rolled over to original allocated to municipalities in KZN. This allocation was originally converted to indirect grant and was rolled over as such, but due to some technicalities, it wasn't actually spent, even though the municipality had spent the money. So this allocation is allowing for reinvestment of those expenditures. So it will now flow as a direct grant to those affected municipalities in KZN. So we also have additional allocation to support disaster relief and recovery. So the first one is 26.1 million, which has been allocated through the disaster recovery grant for the repair of sinkholes and damage to infrastructure resulting from sinkholes in Mirapong City local municipality. So we normally would have this recovery grant whenever, you know, there is a need. So this is the new grant that we were reflecting in the previous slides. So 200 million has been added to the indirect grant, regional bulk infrastructure, to enable the Department of Water Affairs to make some repairs and upgrades to Butterworth Water Supply Scheme in order to respond to drought pressures. So additional allocation also has been made of 25 million for bucket eradication program to allow the department to complete some of the projects that have been identified and committed to.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to take you through the changes to the annexures to the bill and also the conditional grant frameworks as it relates to some of the changes introduced. So what section 16.2 of the Division of Revenue Act requires is that we need to consult Parliament whenever we want to make a correction or an omission that was left out when we tabled the bill in February, that we bring this to Parliament for their consideration. Now, rather than taking each and every individual conditional grant, we generally wait till the adjustment budget through this process and submit the whole lot, particularly if it's just very small minor changes. So that's one of the changes that we're going to make. Another change that's also what is quite important is the changes that or amendments to the allocations that Marijing just presented also need to be captured in some of the conditional grant frameworks. So I'll quickly take you through those. And I can't say which slide number it is on the screen because it's not there, but in terms of the slide presentation, it's slide number 10, and they're working on it to fix it as we speak. Then if you can go to the next slide. Yeah. There's changes made to the comprehensive HIV/AIDS and TB grant, and that is a change that's coming through an adjustment made in the India allocation. That is a very critical allocation, and Malajing already indicated that given that there were an outbreak in malaria due to the extensive longer summer, it resulted in an additional malaria outbreak, so additional allocations will then be captured in the comprehensive HIV and AIDS grant, and it will then include conditions for those two provinces that's receiving that allocation so that we can have the necessary accountability over the money. So that is to add or to provide for the addition. Then a number of technical changes are made. It's got to do with when certain submissions are made from the provinces to the national department in terms of certain grant conditions. There's a number of grants that support the payment of specialist doctors. And the regional date was stipulated to be 28 February in one of the conditional grants and 31 March 2017 in another grant. And they all changed then to 30 November 2017 to allow for a period that additional doctors can also, during the period, also be added to the list so that we can ensure improved service delivery in those facilities. What is also another addition is that there's been a bit of an error undertaken, a technical error, where in we're now on slide number 12, where an addition is, the outcome indicator was indicated to be 1,700, but that was for the full 2017 MTF period, and the indicator should have been just linked to the financial year, which shows that it's 500 clinics. So that omission has been corrected. Then if you then look at the National Tertiary Services Grant, which is on slide 11, that is what I already discussed, where the to allow for a longer period for specialist doctors to be added to the for consideration to be included in the list. Then the substance abuse treatment grant, again, it is just a small error where the original submission date that was in the conditional grant framework of 1 February 2017 was just added, extended with 1 month to 1 March 2017. And there's quite a lot of merit in that because the financial year only starts 1 April. It's just to fix and allow for a longer period. Then if you look at slide 12, what managing has already presented this as well, is money that originally was allocated to the national department to implement certain projects because of the strong capabilities that was shown by the Northwest province. The project was handed over for the Northwest province to conclude. An in-year reduction to an allocation, it was pointed out by the National Department of Basic Education that they've got slow spending on their conditional grant, and the money was then made reduced on the conditional grant framework and also in the schedules. Managing has also taken you through the allocation changes in the adjustments budget for local government, and there's a number of amendments made, as Managing indicated, to cater for disasters. So again, a new conditional grant was created, the Municipal Disaster Recovery Grant, and then it's got additional conditions added to ensure that money can be released. And the same applies for also the water that's required, and again, the conditional grants were changed to cater for that. And then at the last meeting held last week, or was it the week before, when SAGA made a presentation on the NCPPS, they mentioned, they had quite a lengthy discussion on local government issues, and in the end of the presentation, they had a number of recommendations as well. And we indicated in that meeting that we will report back at this meeting. So the first thing that was mentioned is that the review of the local government equitable share formula to include elements from the FFC Insolvent study on the cost of basic services into the local government equitable share formula, and also to consider the vertical division with respect to the division of revenue. What is meant by the vertical division? The vertical division is the split in the allocation between a national sphere, a provincial sphere, and a local sphere, and that is where the offer 9.2% is referred to. So the argument is that the 9.2 should be amended to something different, most probably not lower, but higher. So that's the vertical share, and then what is also quite important is then the horizontal share, and the horizontal share is very important because it will determine how much is allocated to each and every individual municipality. And the data that goes into the formula has got a large impact of exactly how the amounts are allocated. So what we've then done is that with respect to the vertical share, where SALGAS asked for additional allocations to be added to the local government equitable share, to the same levels that it was added in the past. In the past few MTFs, for the last five and even more years, far above the norm allocations have been added to the local government allocations, both the local government equitable share and the conditional grants. And the reason for that is that the service delivery needs of local government was acknowledged. But in this much more fiscally constrained environment, it will be very difficult to maintain those substantial increases. And then another question that we need to ask, and I know I'm going to say something a bit controversial, but National Treasury has done some very high-level initial analysis on what has happened to the additional allocations that we've made available to the smaller municipalities, for example, where we've changed the formula to specifically benefit, you know, the more cash-constrained or municipalities that's got much less ability to raise their own revenues to increase the allocation that goes to those municipalities. And in terms of our analysis, a lot of those additional resources have just been going into the expenditure item that you call COE, or compensation of employees. So the question that we then need to ask is that, yes, which ones of those staff that's now receiving more money, which of them are linked to service delivery and which of them are not linked to service delivery? Because some of the services that municipalities provide do require, you know, the HR to provide for that. We haven't done that analysis, so to do that split between what is linked to staff that's doing service delivery and which of the staff is linked to administration. At future committees we'll be able to respond back to that as well. So that is something that needs to be borne in mind. Then with regard to the technical work that SALGA has undertaken, yes, it is a proposal, and it's actually not very much different to the amounts that currently go into the local government equitable share formula. And the data that National Treasury currently use, and what is very, very important in terms of any data that you use in a formula, it should be totally impossible to manipulate the data. The moment you create an opportunity where you can manipulate data, it can become questionable. So what we always do is the preferred source of data is Statistics South Africa, which is the official source of data in the country. Another source of data that's then also used often is administrative data that we get from national sector departments. And the data that we currently use in the formula is a combination of data that we get from Statistics South Africa and from the national sector departments in terms of the cost drivers. The work that SALGA and the FFC did was undertaken by a team of consultants, so we really need to do quite a bit of extra work. Both systems have got advantages. The advantage of the data that National Treasury use, it's simple and it's very easy to explain, and we can link it back to a credible source. The data that it was produced by the study undertaken by the FFC and SALGA is doing quite a lot of assumption and modelling within the data. And so a choice is needed. Is detail better or simplicity better? But we are working with the FFC and SALGA looking at those issues. and we will again also at a later stage report back to the committee on those issues. Then another issue that was also raised in the SALGA session is to strengthen capacity building to municipalities, and also a very important issue is to reduce waste. Again, there's two issues that we can raise here. The one issue has got to do with improved capacity building. If you read Chapter 4 of the medium-term budget policy statement, there's reference made that currently a new grant is under consideration, what we refer to a grant that will specifically support municipal restructuring to assist and look at issues of how we can deal with the municipalities that's constantly in financial difficulties. And again, the question that needs to be asked and answered is how many of those municipalities are in financial distress because they're being inefficient, and how many of those municipalities are in financial difficulties because they are underfunded. But if you look at what I've presented before, that's how the allocations have increased over time and what has been done with the increased allocations, certain assumptions can be made of where the challenge lies. But it doesn't mean that there's not a combination of both, but it's skewed more to most probably the inefficiency side. Then with regard to SALGA supporting the reduction of waste, National Treasury was very happy to hear that in the meeting, because National Treasury last year issued regulations that compels municipalities to comply with cost containment regulations that's been issued. So it's important that we monitor over time the progress that's made in this regard. And then quite a lot was said in the session as well about debt issues and the outstanding debt issues that municipalities face, and also issues with respect to enhancing municipal ability to raise revenues. And with regard to that one, in the meeting I indicated that we do publish information, and there's two types of debt that you get. You get good debt and you get bad debt. The bad debt you get is operating debt where you don't have sufficient cash flows to pay back that debt. That debt is linked from one financial year. That debt that you incur must be paid that same financial year. But long-term debt is not necessarily a bad thing. It's then got to do with improved service delivery to get infrastructure accelerators, rather than just relying on grants and own internal revenues to provide those sources. So National Treasury, together with our counterparts, like SALGA and LECOC and FFC, we've been doing work on strengthening the capabilities of municipalities to look at municipal borrowing and then using that as a tool to enhance infrastructure rollouts. We're also doing work on development charges, which is a tool also where the, in cases where there's no bulk in place for a contractor to for example, put in place a residential area or build houses or to do business development, that infrastructure gets fast-tracked by the developer, either assisting by building that infrastructure or paying for the infrastructure to be put in place. It's in cases where the municipality does see that as a growth node, but not a growth node in the MTF that they're planning for, but in future. So the municipality does not have the money on its own budget at that stage, but it is an area that's been identified for development. There are quite a bit of work that we're doing there, and we'll in future also report back to the committee on the progress made in that regard. But I'm going to hand back to Manny Jeng, then to deal with the municipal debt and related issues. Thanks.
Thank you, Wendy. Yeah, so one of the issues that SALGA dealt with was with regard to the whole issue of municipal debt, which is obviously a big concern for everyone. And there's always debate as to how this should be dealt with. And some of the issues that they raised was really around exploring innovative ways to enhance revenue. So some of the proposals that they made in terms of linking this tariff clearances or requiring forced payment from government employees are obviously the big policy issues that would have to be engaged in a much more formal way. And in order to actually facilitate better coordination, between us and SAUGA and COCTA in dealing with this policy and strategy and performance issues, we have actually agreed to establish what we call Budget Forum Technical Committee. That is the committee that links to the Budget Forum, which is the body that national government consults local government on matters of financial and fiscal policy. So we will be working much more closely on many areas of policy, which will probably also include exploring other ways of addressing this issue from policy perspective. But what we thought we could present to you is how we understand and see the problem, you know, in the municipality that is actually causing this liquidity challenges, and what are the, you know, just to say, their state at the moment of finances, and then we can actually begin to see, you know, the extent of the problem and where it is occurring, and also how we see the root cause of this problem, and what is our proposed strategic response to address this. And I think this is quite important because it probably is something that you may want in future to hold us as a collective in government responsible. So the first thing really is just to say that there is a problem, you know, in municipal debt that continues to grow in terms of the ability to collect. But at the end of the year, 2016-17, we had 1.8 billion that was owed to municipalities by their customers. And most of that is households, but also commercial, 27 billion, and the organs of state, 7.4 billion. So while we always say collection is around 91%, but what you will see also there is that there are some municipalities that collect even less than 50%, you know, less than 60%. So, and I believe that those are some of the municipalities that then end up being in major problems. So you also see the problem in terms of the rising creditors, which is becoming an issue with regard to their ability to pay electricity. So what we also see here is that at the end of the year, they reflected quite a bit of underspending of almost 53 billion in total. However, that also reflects their poor budgeting because they overstate revenue and therefore under-collect. So under-collection of revenue was almost 30 billion. And also overstate expenditure on the other side. And eventually, you end up with something that seems like there is cash, and yet in some of them there is no cash, even though they reflect underspending. So the next slide, 20, reflects our analysis of these municipalities that are in trouble. So the top 20. So we do have about 60 or so, but they are the top 20 that really account for most of the 34 billion of the debt that we are reflecting on municipalities. So this is reflecting at the end of the year how the municipalities ended. So if you look at that table, you'll see that at the end of the quarter, table column 2 shows that at the end of the year, 2016-17, these municipalities owed around 16 billion. So this is the debt that is older than 90 days, you know. And most of that is obviously Eskom, 8 billion, and Water Board, 3.4 billion. But we also looked at how much are the state owing these municipalities, because there's always an issue that the state tends to be owing, you know, also these municipalities. So of this 16, the debt associated to the state is around 1.3 billion. So when you look at cash and cash equivalents, it comes to around 700 million. So when you compare 700 million and 16 billion that they owe, you can already see that there is actually a big problem. So many of them actually are in the red. They don't have the cash. So which means there is a problem, but when you look at across, you see that there are few where there's a problem of the state owing them, like Mafikeng, you know. There is an issue there with Mafikeng, there is an issue with Mfuleni, you know, when you look at, compare their debt and how much the state is owing them. But the rest of them, you will see that what the state owes them relative to what they have as debt is quite as big, although we are not saying it is good that the state owes this up. But this is the situation here of municipalities. Some of them really have good potential to perform well, and you cannot actually say they are in this situation because their revenue base is a problem. So we have analyzed the 60-odd municipalities to try to understand what exactly, where are they in terms of how they manage their finances. So what we saw is that most of them are in the category of those that collect almost less than 50% of their revenue, right? And they usually overstate how much they are going to collect, and yet in actual fact they collect very, very low. And most of these municipalities also will present an operational deficit. So usually you want to make sure that your operational expenditure is covered fully by the budget. You don't want to present unfunded budget. So they present unfunded budget that actually shows that operational expenditure is much more than the revenue that they envisage to collect. And I think for me, it is always an issue to say, why is it that the municipalities would also be the ones that would spend the money that they don't have? And that sometimes that is viewed to be okay, because when the strong action is taken, it becomes a big issue to say they don't have a revenue base. But there's always a question to say, why is it that you spend the money that you don't have and just continuously just spend the money you don't have? And I think this is what you see happening to some of these municipalities. They adopted unfunded budgets. They then enter into the payments that they cannot be able to honor, and they're not able to pay those money that they have. And I think that is generally what we have found, that even those that present surplus budgets, but when you analyze it, you find that it's actually not surplus. So we do acknowledge that there is a problem in this, some of these municipalities. But there is always an issue to say, what is the problem? So on one hand, there is a strong echo that says there's a problem because they don't have a revenue base. You know, they need more money. So if you double their equitable share, you'll, you know, get the problem off. There's, on the other hand, where we say the problem is much deeper than that. You know, there is a maladministration, malfunctioning, and there is operational inefficiencies that even if you throw in money, if you don't address those issues, you will not be able to fight. So what we are showing here is that our division of revenue, which in a way, when you look at the transfers from national, the transfers from national to local government is 90%. But often we don't look at the revenue responsibility that has been assigned to local government, that water, electricity, and all the services are meant to be paid for by people that should pay, right? They should be able to collect. And if we begin to say you need to double the share of municipality that goes, so that now people that should be paying electricity and water don't pay. So the question will always be, how do you make that fiscal gap? Do you increase tax for the whole of the country now, assuming that people are no more going to have to pay for water and electricity? And I think that becomes a big question when people are, you know, arguing to say we need to increase the share of municipalities. So we have to look at the fiscal framework, the assignment of revenue raising capacity that is there in the municipalities compared to what provinces are. Because provinces are delivering functions that are not revenue generated. So when you look at the fiscal framework, municipalities account for 25% of what is being spent by the public sector when you include the assignment of revenue, and provinces account for around a third. So I think that's a big question, obviously, that to say if you want to double, it means that you have to raise the money somewhere, because you are accepting that we are no more going to be paying for electricity, water, and all that. And that is a big policy question. So in the meanwhile, what we are showing here is that division of revenue is very much redistributive, because it does acknowledge that there are some municipalities that have got a very low revenue base relative to the functions that they are assigned to. So when you look at this, that mostly rural municipalities, they receive almost twice, you know, per the household compared to your metros. So we generate a lot of revenue from the large cities, particularly metros, which generate almost 70% of the tax, but we redistribute a greater part of that to the lower municipalities. And that actually acknowledges that they have lower expenditure revenue base. We also reviewed the equitable share, the point that Wendy looked at. For a number of years, the equitable share looked like this. So the rural municipalities were receiving less per household compared to your large municipalities. So we reviewed the division of revenue to make sure that they actually receive a much greater share of equitable share per household compared to your metros and your secondary cities. So the issue is because of the fact that in those municipalities, that is where employment is in those areas. Usually what you'll find is that they are usually bloated, right, with personnel. And I think if we accept that that is the case, well, that is quite inefficient because you've got a lot of people that are actually doing nothing. So if we accept that it is the case, the problem is it becomes so inefficient at the cost of that municipality being able to deliver services to the majority of the people. So this is what we see, that one of the big issues is really about bloated personnel structures. So they don't have structures that are fit for purpose, in a sense. So we also looked at what are some of these challenges that we believe are actually contributing towards this problem. So the biggest challenge that we believe that is obviously above my pay grade to solve, but it is a political challenge. It's a political accounting, is where the governance is weak, there's instability, there isn't a good interface between your at the political and administrative level, there's poor leadership. Then you will have councils that are not effective, that are not able to put the right kind of skills in place, that are not able to call the municipalities to account. If you have got acting, you have got no accountability in that municipality. And that is really a political problem that needs a political solution. And when that doesn't come, whatever solution that I come with at a technical level, it really usually doesn't work. In fact, the municipality is in and out, and you don't see consistent improvement. So the other issues is really about factors that are external to the municipalities, which at the national level we need to also address. These have to do with institutional arrangements. The issue, sometimes in some of the service level agreements between municipalities and provinces, sometimes they're not adequately funded for the services that they provide for municipalities, although sometimes it's because the municipalities chooses to provide those services at a much higher level than provinces are providing, but that is an issue. The other big issue is really about misalignment between funding and functions between districts and local municipalities. So some of this in water functions, the districts in some cases are actual water authorities. So the division of revenue allocates money to the district. But often the locals are providers. So if the district is not functional, it's not giving the provider sufficient money to provide the service, then you've got a problem. And I think this is the case between Mafikeng actually and Nakamudiri, where it's usually shortchanged with regard to the revenue function, the actual equitable share that they need to. And this is something that has been on the table of COCTA to resolve this and water, and to resolve these issues of functions, because money goes where the authority is at the moment where we are. The amalgamations is a big issue, and it's a big issue that sometimes, you know, the dysfunctional municipalities are combined, and it was never clear how it was expected that they would suddenly be functional. And that has actually made the problem even much more bigger in some of these areas. So the issues of misalignment between our functions, MSA and MFMA, where some of the functions are duplicated, it does also blur the functional responsibilities and accountabilities between us as the treasury sector and the COCTA sector. So, and it's something that we are looking at in terms of doing that, because if we don't do that, then we are not able to do our proper oversight without actually competing with each other on the engaging turf war. So we are addressing that part in a way. So the other one is really just the culture of not paying each other, where people don't pay within 30 days as a matter of course. So how do we respond? So we think that in terms of the response, so this is what we are talking to and establishing amongst us with COCTA and Salga and the National Treasury. So the first thing that we are saying is that political accountability and commitment to put people first is very important. And the issue of the culture of non-payment, it should not be tolerated. It should not be okay that, you know, people don't pay. You know, and the big issues around collective coordinated approach, because a lot of initiatives have been done, but they have been fragmented and they have not been coherent and consistent. So we also say that we need a strategic response that focuses on Minister of Financial Sustainability, not just confined to certain creditors. Because at the moment, the focus has been on ESCOM and maybe water, and yet the problem is deeper than that in most of these municipalities. And we are also saying we need political leadership at all levels, at national, at provincial, at provincial, at parliament. I mean, we need to be able to get accountability. And sometimes I do believe that even here, some of these municipalities need to be called to account. But sometimes we are called to account, and yet they have got the powers and the authorities and the payments for their salaries that they take decisions that are not right. So we think that the issue of exercising prudent oversight, where enforcement, whether it's through Section 136, 216, 154, those things should actually be things that are accepted, and so that you're not getting in trouble when you're trying to impose those kind of measures. So we are also proposing a multi-pronged approach, collective and coordinated approach, which we believe is essential to address this, all creditors. So this is what we have that actually reflects that multi-pronged approach that we are engaging with amongst us, with the sector, which has been also presented to the budget forum, which includes Salga, and our minister, and the Ministry of Finance. So there is a strong commitment to actually become much more programmatic, much more cohesive, much more better coordinated and collaborative. And this really hinges around understanding what is it that we need to do. The key thing is about understanding the roles, which we understand us to have been dealing with issues of funded budget. So we have agreed on 6 game changers as a treasury sector, that funded budget is key, revenue enhancement is key, asset management, SCM, and audit outcomes. So those are the key things that we have agreed on, that provinces have also formulated, each one of them, their strategies to respond to these game changers. So we are also putting in place through our municipal improvement program our support strategy financially to enable provinces to be able to do this. But we are also saying COCTA's role in terms of MSA, ensuring back to basics, governance, no acting MNs, you know, and addressing issues of instability, facilitating the implementation of Municipal Property Rates Act, which is a major resource, revenue resource that sometimes may not be optimized properly, reviewing the indigenous policy, influencing organizational structure so that we have got a structure that are fit for purpose, and strengthening capability of council to act responsibly. And this is where OBD Salga also can actually begin to play a major role constructively in this case. And really the oversight, therefore, in terms of parliament in this case. So we're saying that now we also are talking about potentially introducing what we would call a support finance mechanism down the line, that if municipalities are entering into a recovery program that shows commitment to turn around, and then they need to be able to finance certain things to begin to get on the road to recovery, that they could be assisted to do that. But there has to be demonstration to do that. And I think the issue of actually complying with the law, Section 139, Section 138, being imposed so that they have a recovery program, those are the things that need to be agreed, and they have to be united force to begin to move forward. If we don't, then honestly, I don't see how, you know, we'll address the problem going forward. Thank you, Chair.
I'm missing one section. They call it Section 154 of the Constitution. It's to be added here as well. Because that's the first question I ask when the municipality writes you a letter, not putting the whole case. Then we ask the national and provincial department, but what did you do in terms of Section 154 of the Constitution? It's in the Constitution of South Africa. when before we go to 139, etc. I'm going to hand over to my co-chair to do the rest of the agenda. Slide 27, honourable members, is crucial. Slide 27 tells us there must be an action plan. The co-chair, we can deliberate on this when we tomorrow is a public hearing, but we will have to call Treasury as well as COCTA to report back on the Back to Basics program progress. Looking at this presentation, giving a small analysis of local government. As I sit here, I'm concerned. I've got a couple of issues here. Municipalities listed here is from Free State, Mpumalanga, Gauteng, Limpopo and Northwest, those 20. So our provincial colleagues that's here, please take note of that you take it back to your province. We will deal with that on Wednesday the 15th in all 9 provinces, this presentation.
Honourable members, ladies and gentlemen, we have just received a briefing from the National Treasury on the 2017 Division of Revenue Amendment Bill. And as we are all aware, the allocation of resources to the 3 spheres of government is a critical step in the budget process. It is required before national government, the 9 provinces and 257 municipalities can receive their own specific allocation. I will now open the floor for honourable members to rise on clarity-seeking questions, but also to discuss or interrogate the presentation.
Our colleagues from the provinces, please engage.
Yes, please.
The floor is yours.
Let's feel free. This is our meeting.
Yes.
Number one. Number two. You're number two. Number three. Number four. Please remember your number.
Yeah.
Number five. I'll give you a second chance. Shall we then take the 5 questions?
Thank you, Chair. My name is Chair Ramaphosa from the Free State Province.
Yeah.
Right. I just want to check on the savings on the school infrastructure. What is going to happen in the long run about that? That is my simple short one. Thank you.
Where is number two? Number two is this side. Thank you, Honourable Co-Chairperson. My question will be, my name is Pinky Ngobe from Gauteng Province Finance Portfolio. My question will be, I know you might not have answers, but there is slide 25. Which talks about the culture of non-payment and the third note there is that past initiatives have not achieved the desired results. And my question will be, given the high rate of unemployment, I'll talk about how big in 2013 being 23.7. I'm not sure now. And you also have also a lot of people living below the poverty line. At school, their children will qualify for free nutritional food. However, the parents will be forced to pay for the services, which money they don't have. And then you then have municipalities who then decide to take away the benefits that those communities were having in terms of free certain number of kiloliters of water and maybe and electricity. So what would be your intervention in advising those municipalities? For instance, let me talk about where you have a direct control. the metros, I, for example, Johannesburg, have taken away those benefits. And the last one will be on the community, the window for, you talked about the instance. No, I can't see my question. Thanks. Okay, number three.
Just before number three continues, is Salga present? Not present. Aye, it can't be that.
Okay,
hey,
shall we proceed with number three?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think number three. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Let me start by thanking Treasury for a very, very informative and comprehensive presentation. Chairperson, just on a different note, I found it very difficult, and I appeal to you, I found it very difficult to follow the presentation if we don't have all the stuff in working order. That's just a comment from my side. And I mean, we've been sitting in this room a few times that stuff is not working. Apparently, they don't get it fixed. So please, appeal from my side. Can we attend to that as a matter of urgency to assist us to follow this properly? Coming to my questions, then, Chairperson, I understand the principle of reallocating money from one municipality to the other if they can't spend it, you know, within the same, let's say, responsibility. My concern is that the people that the money is being taken away of, they are going to remain without that very essential services. And my appeal would be that, you know, we need to find a way to get these people to be able to spend their money. Then my last question, Chairperson, is about, I also see that funding, additional funding has been made available for, you know, emergency water, stuff like that. And my question is, being from the Western Cape, are we going to get an additional money for Cape Town to have water? At the moment, the sea is called very salty, so we can't drink it. So are we going to get something to attend to that? Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, number four. Thank you very much for your question. Number four.
Thank you, Co-Chairperson, and also to thank the National Treasury for their good presentation. Mine is not a question, but a comment. In the main around issues affecting municipalities, especially the challenges as highlighted in the presentation. And want to say that I think what is required from all of us, especially led by COCTA, is to try by all means to focus on the issues of governance and leadership. All these other things that have been highlighted here actually stand or fall on or around issues of governance and leadership. So my claim, my request is that as we go out to try and intervene, I think that should be the starting point, because if that is lacking, you can try and deal with the rest. Nothing will come out of that exercise. So I just want to emphasize on that point. Thank you very much.
Chapter 8 of the MFMA captures precisely what the member just said.
Okay. Number 5.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Akiwe Komalo, the Chairperson of Finance in Gauteng. The picture that you are getting here, Chair, is that if we say 20 municipalities in the country are in a serious crisis, it tells you that the leaders who have a crisis, that the people on the ground coming from these areas are in poverty. And our task to ensure that we alleviate the state of life to, of our people to the best. I know that the level of national government, especially national treasurer, you focus is more on maps, and you see very little in relation to challenges at that level. Hence, you have this picture. I think I'll allude to support what the chairperson DBS says in relation to looking to all the decisions that you have taken in relation to going back to the babies, the turnaround. I think that is key. Ensuring that the whole, let's say, star Salga treasury, national treasury, and also attend to these matters as a matter of payment. Without that, I think we are back to the days back where there was a crisis in our province.
Thank you very much. I'm going to request Treasury to respond to the questions raised. And in your responses, if you could be short and to the point. I see we have time constraints. At least I would like us to leave the venue by 5 to 2. 5 to 2, we must be done. Thank you very much.
On the issue of what happened to the savings on infrastructure grants, it means that that money comes back to the revenue fund, which we needed, by the way, to reduce debt. Because it means that it can't be spent anywhere. And I also believe that it also doesn't make, if we also spend money inefficiently, if we can't spend it. So essentially it means that it comes back to the fiscus. But the department is working very hard, obviously, to try to address the issues with the provinces. But they would still have their allocations in the coming years to address the problem to the extent that it's going to be possible, given that we are in a constrained fiscal environment and many issues are coming up that are impacting on the fiscus. So on the issues of the high rate of unemployment and whether the municipalities are sticking to, the free basic services to the extent that they are supposed to, I think something that we need to look at whether the municipalities are denying the people the basic that they have. What honourable member must also realise is that there are some municipalities that decided to give the services beyond what actually the level in which it is funded by the equitable share. So in equitable share, we are funding on average almost like 59% of the households, but it's based on the basic levels that have been determined, 6 kiloliter for water, 50 megawatts for electricity, and so on. So if the municipality decides to double that, then it means that it has got to depend on the municipality financial capability. So I know some municipalities did inherit huge burden of unaffordable services, because also it's a problem if it becomes to the extent that the municipality can't afford it, because it brings the municipality down. So I think we would have to check whether they are sticking to what they are funded for by the fiscus or not, and which if they are not, then that would be a problem for us. Okay, how do we deal with the poor performing municipalities, the reallocation issue? We try to the extent possible to assist these municipalities. I think there are some municipalities that we came last year and say we took money from the municipalities and maybe to the district to deliver on their behalf. Coptan has got MISA, and we are also looking at how to support. So there is usually quite an intense support to certain municipalities that has got a problem. But there are things sometimes that, if the contracting is not in place, that you can't, even the support that you give, you're not able actually to get that municipality to spend in that particular year. So it does cause reallocation. But whenever there's reallocation, it becomes a case that we deal with. We've got a number of them that we are actually
in a way, micromanaging to begin to make sure that they can spend the money, but not just spend the money, but spend it on infrastructure, because there is also a phenomenon whereby sometimes they spend the money, but you cannot see it where the money has been spent. So we do try to do that. Obviously, the extent to which we can do it in terms of the number of municipalities and our capacity is actually limited. But I think in partnership with NISA and COCTA, you know, there is quite an effort to address the problem of those municipalities. And I think that is why MIS actually was established and funded, was actually to begin to address the problem of municipalities that are not able to spend.
There's two additional questions that's still remaining. The one has got to do with, you know, National Treasury is just focusing on the big municipalities and not necessarily providing support to the smaller municipalities. And what is quite key here is that it's not just National Treasury. We are Treasury family. We consist of National Treasury together with the provincial treasuries. And we are working very closely with the provincial treasuries as well. So they also have a monitoring and support role. And we currently also focus on building their skills and capabilities to strengthen their monitoring and oversight of municipalities. And certain provincial treasuries are doing exceptional jobs, and others are still learning the curves. But we're definitely making drives in the right direction. And the last slide that Mani Jing has shown, provincial treasuries and provincial coctas are part and parcel of that initiative. So it's not just national government that need to provide support to municipalities, but the actual ground level support are actually there by the provincial treasuries and provincial coctas. Then with regard to the question on the Western Cape drought, just before we came here, we actually followed up with the National Disaster Management Center exactly where the current situation is with regard to drought. And if I can just say what we've been informed is that the National Disaster Management Center has conducted the drought assessments in some of the municipalities in the Western Cape that were recently added to the declaration of the state of disaster in terms of the water shortage. And final reports and funding requests are awaited from the Western Cape Disaster Management Center in order to finalize the process. So that is where the current status is. And I think just to highlight, because this is an issue that gets raised quite frequently, there are prescribed processes that require to be followed in order to access money for a disaster. And the first step that you need to do is to actually either have a municipality, a province, or national government to declare a disaster. If there's no disaster declared in terms of legislation, and it's not the Division of Revenue that's the problem that's prescribed, it is the National Disaster Management Act that prescribes that when is it, what is a disaster, and when must it be declared. So that's the first point. Then the second point is that, and the intergovernmental system should also work. Firstly, the situation is that if it's a small thing that's not really a disaster but something happened and the municipality or the province can afford to pay it out of their own revenue base, there's no need to declare a disaster. But the moment the expenditure becomes too high, then those applications need to filter through the appropriate processes. And it's very important that municipalities and municipality need to work through the provincial disaster management center, and the provincial disaster management center needs to work through the national disaster management center. And there's a number of ways that disaster money can be accessed. The one way is what we call the immediate disaster relief, and that deals with the immediate costs after disaster. That's 3 days to 3 months after disaster has been declared. The Division of Revenue Act has got specific concessions that money can be immediately released. Then there's more longer term interventions, and there's two types of longer term interventions. And the one is provided for in the Division of Revenue Act, and the other one is not. Then there's for the rehabilitation and the longer term cost, it can go one of two ways. The one way is to use the existing conditional grant money that's in the system, and there's provision in the Division of Revenue Act that if, for example, a school gets burned down or there's a flood that impacts on a school, that you use the education infrastructure grant or the school infrastructure with approval. If the sector department comes, National Treasury approves, the money can be redirected towards that purpose. And currently, a lot of the money that goes towards disasters are done in that way. Because additional and new money can also be allocated for disasters. So if you start, you need to look at all those costs and monies that's made available. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. I will now allow for follow-up questions. Chair, I know you have a question for National Treasury.
To National Treasury, we received our research document and national government received an additional 8.4 billion, which includes, then it goes on, 49.8 million for conditional grants to provinces and an allocation for grants to local government, and then 994.8 million rand for state debt costs. If you can address that. Very concerning point is on slide 25, excuse me, the misalignment of legislation, the overlap between the MSA and the MFMA has blurred, and so it goes on. Can you elaborate a bit more on that? Because then it comes to Parliament. What must we do? Because Parliament deals with legislation, then we must correct it if it's not functioning very well. Unfunded budgets. How can a municipality, how can a mayor, how can the Troika, the mayor, the municipal manager and the CFO, table a budget that's not funded in a council meeting? It doesn't make sense. It can't be allowed. And then I ask the question, Co-Chair, honorable members. All these workshops that's being conducted, financial training, and you end up with an unfunded budget. You can't pass that test. It's impossible. We will have to concoct again with National Treasury to get a progress report on the Back to Basics program. Because this forms part of the Back to Basics program, coming over a couple of years. Misalignment, unfunded, yes. SALGA, provincial delegations, present here next Wednesday, the 15th, please invite SALGA also to your briefing meetings. I think that is very important. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, the other concerning matter is the rollovers for two consecutive years. What I would like to know is whether there was compliance with legislation in these rollovers. From where I am sitting, the budget principle is that you roll over funds that are committed. Otherwise, the funds, the unused funds then become a saving and then surrendered. So if you can just explain and elaborate on that one. I saw your head yesterday. Number one, who else? Number two, number three. Yes, we only have the three hands. Over to you, our number one.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is David van Vieren, also from the Free State. It's more of a comment, perhaps, on what the Chairperson said, that we must take note of the municipalities that owes ESCOM money. The Free State owes ESCOM more than 4 billion rand at this stage. Maluto Pifum, only the interest on their account is more than 20 million rand per month. But I mean, we said, and there I want to agree with National Treasury, that the two things that must happen in the Free State is political intervention, firstly, and consequence management. There's no consequences in these municipalities. And they appear in front of our committee. We stress those matters, highlight them, and tell them through our resolutions what must happen. But if we just look at Mafube municipality, they've got a municipal manager that's been on suspension and leave for 3 years, getting paid, but nothing's happening there. They deduct money and don't pay the third parties from the employees. So I want to stress and also highlight and concur with National Treasury that we have to get political intervention in these municipalities, especially in the Free State. We're in dire position currently with our Eskom accounts, and there must be consequences. I mean, we sit here and say that we must get an action plan, and we've got action plans in the Free State, but how do you implement that? Nothing's happening. And again, I think political intervention is the answer. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, thanks. My name is Kinalman Pukunsi. I'm also from the Free State. I'm going to be very short, Chair.
Okay.
Chair, it's on page 25 again. Maybe I must start with the issue that was raised by Treasury on the issues, the factors that makes the municipality not be able to spend on their funding and all those things to be not in compliance with the MFMA. Treasury raised the issue of maladministration, but I think also the other critical issue is the issue of capacity with municipalities. Maybe as the other chair has proposed that Salga Cocta must come and give a briefing on the back to basics, they must then speak on the issue of capacity when it comes to municipality, because that's the other issue, especially on administration. Yes, I know specifically in Machabeng, we've got in four directorate or three, we've got people that are still acting. So that on its own, it has a very bad bearing on the municipality on itself. But Chair, the quick one is on the issue of the district and local municipalities. In terms of the law, districts are expected to support and coordinate activities of local municipalities. But we find that other districts themselves don't even have that particular capacity. A local municipality is more, it's of a higher capacity than a district municipality. And Treasury still takes money to the district municipality, expecting that district municipality to assist municipalities. That does not work as well. So can we also maybe, as we deal with the legislation, look into those issues as well to say, how can we then make sure that we don't pump money in these municipalities while those municipalities themselves are not functional, but we rather assist, not only pump money into local municipalities, but find a way, Treasury must find a way of giving money, but also assisting in capacity in any other issues that they can ask, because it's not going to help to give me money and I'm unable to spend that particular money. But I fully agree with you, Chair, that you can't have a budget. It's illegal to have a budget that is unfunded. You have a budget that is it's illegal. All of us, we know that. How do then councils approve those particular budgets? Thank you.
It's just a submission to say the unused funds on school infrastructure, we submit that they be reallocated to those who are building and are able to use the money, like in any other sectors where unused funds are reallocated, instead of taking them to fiscals. That's a submission. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, it's a very interesting submission. But then I will then request you to respond to the question and the follow-up questions that were raised. And actually, we have 3 minutes.
I think this has come up because the Municipal Systems Act came before MFMA. So in order to make sure that the system works, it did incorporate some of the financial management issues like audit outcomes, like indigenous policies, like revenue, some aspects of revenue, tariff setting, and credit policies. And now those things are part of financial management. So when you look at revenue, you want to look at a whole revenue chain. So when it is fragmented like that, it becomes a major challenge. So in that way, then we are kind of walking each other's ways, and we are trying to find a way of making this thing to be much more coherent. And in the long term, I think we think that you need to be able to review the MFMA, even to make sure that the whole issue of intervention also can give Treasury much more cheap. Because at the moment, it actually allocates responsibility more to local government in terms of intervention when the financial management fails. So there are those inconsistencies that then makes us not to be comprehensive in looking at financial management holistically. So, okay, in terms terms of the rollover that was done for KZN on the demarcation, yes, the money has been spent, right? So the rollover that was done was in the indirect grant. So, but there were problems with the Department of Corporate Services to get that money out of the system. So we felt that it's actually going to be unfair that in the municipality and the province has spent the money, and because of our own failure to get the money out of the system, then they get punished. So essentially the money is spent, but we're really about making sure that they are reinvested on that money. Yeah, I think because it was a different, remember now it was indirect, now it was like direct, so we thought, I guess fairness also wasn't.
You may roll over, the rule is that you may roll over one, but if there's litigating circumstances, you can roll over another topic.
Honourable members, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for attending the meeting, and we would also like to thank the department for coming all the way and for the insightful presentation, but also for responding to the questions raised adequately. Now you know, in future we have to have SALGA in these meetings. We must invite SALGA to be part of us. But also I would like to thank Mr. Ter Blanche for the submission, but also for the understanding that we don't stop this meeting and we proceed. And I promise you, I think this submission will be looked at and you will get a formal response on this. But I'm sure you are happy that you said and you also received this briefing. As you were intervening, I heard you saying that this was a very critical briefing. So thank you very much. Thank you. The meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you. I leave it for a second to the